Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I feel there's no way to say it, but when you're out there, you feel like everybody's laughing at you.
Until recently, she'd been living on the streets after being forced out of her apartment.
I was literally laying on benches and I was like scared to death. I didn't know what to do. It's just been hell. I mean, I'll be 66 years old in June. I mean, I have no business on the street.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
People over age 50, like Rita, are becoming homeless in alarming numbers. They make up half of all unhoused people in California.
The average life expectancy of a person experiencing homelessness is about 47 years old, compared to a person who's in permanent housing of about 77.
California's Governor Gavin Newsom plans to spend an unprecedented $750 million this year on housing for the most vulnerable.
We're not going to cure it with money. We're not going to cure it with money. These homeless drug addicts and might be in your driveway, don't call 911 unless it's criminal in nature, the city's saying. Even police tell us, right, that a calm person, maybe not even on like methamphetamine or something, can in 1 second become a threat. Now we call 311. The HART team is going to be launched, the Homeless Assistance Response Team. There's going to be 18 outreach workers from the Pavarello House, 10 code enforcement members, one sergeant, and six officers. The city's saying this is going to be streamlined, as we see. Mayor Dyer says they'll all work together to make sure the right resources are sent to each call related to homelessness. Mayor Dyer, Council Member Chavez, and Esparza announced this plan moving forward. Call 311, unless criminal in nature, I guess. But see, you don't know. If a homeless person who seems to be deranged, who seems to possibly be on methamphetamine, is rambling, talking out loud to nobody that is there a crime in progress? I guess if he's trespassing, there is. But that's probably not a 911 police call. 911, what's your emergency in a city where people are going crazy and killing people? Somebody's trespassing on my driveway. Okay, we'll be out there Wednesday. Right? And that's really kind of the reality, and that's why they're, I guess, putting this into place. Right here. We'll see. The mayor quoted here said, "Today we have the equipment, we have the people, we have the plan, and we have the funding." Well, I thought we had that a few years ago, right, Newsom, when you were down here in Fresno?
I own this. We got to meet this moment. This issue is a crisis. It's a state of emergency. People are dying on the streets and sidewalks. There's no compassion stepping over people on the streets and sidewalks. And we've got to own up to this in a way we haven't in the past. State of California, with respect, is nowhere to be found on this issue.
Right. And that was years ago. That was 2018 when he was down talking about Fresno homeless. So now you call 311 if somebody's homeless, in danger, or in need of immediate assistance. In danger? In danger. So what does that mean? What's the 911, 311? What's the line right there that you go if somebody's in danger? You call 311. Kind of vague, but maybe we'll get some more details on this. But you know, it could take hours for police arrive if it's about a homeless situation. So now this new HART outreach team will be the ones doing it. Mayor Dyer quoted here, GV Wire said, "There's going to be times when the police department responds, oftentimes utilizing the outreach workers to assist and perhaps code. There's going to be times when our code enforcement folks go out alone to address a particular issue." I wonder how code enforcement's going to feel. Situations that police used to go to. This is what happens when you don't have enough officers, when you have laws in California, services start getting dwindled away. and it becomes an unsafer place to live. To me, this seems like a Band-Aid situation over a problem that you're going to put. You don't know what danger is. You don't know when a homeless person... Okay, let's take away homeless. You don't know when a drug-induced, enraged Night of the Living Dead that we see walking in this city, you don't know the next second when they're going to pull out a syringe and stick it in your neck. Sir, do you mind getting off my dress? There it is, right in your neck, right? Well, we'll see how this works out. There's going to be times when only the heart team does go out, the homeless assistance response team, as we've seen. In the past year, you know, with the homeless situation, and there are people just like that lady right there that I played you at the top of the hour, 66 years old. There are people who are definitely homeless. And but that's, we're not talking about having a problem where people don't have a place to stay. We're talking about a problem that's been allowed to be created where people have a lifestyle where you can't tell them to stop defecating, where you can't tell them that they can't camp here. Hey, if I went up to Yosemite, can I just go camp? No, you have to wait in a line, and you got to get a fill out a form, right? A reservation. You have to do it a certain way. You can't light certain fire. I mean, come on. We have rules with camping, unless you're somebody that doesn't want to go along with what society actually states that you have to do. I do give kudos to our former city council here. Supervisor Brandel, when he was on city council, they did the no camping ordinance, and that got passed here. You know what that would have done? That would have been meant that you can't do what we see happening. But the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, with Obama-appointed judges, elections matter. You're wondering, why is all this happening? Because you voted Democrat. There you go. There's your answer. Newsom, down there at the train track, right? Sheriff Newsom riding in with his posse on horse at the train robbery. How'd all this happen? Third world country down here. Yes, because people voted for you. We have seen, and we did see, a change in this in the past year. The city relocated over 600 homeless people that were living on the streets and the freeways into motels, and part of the, what was that, Operation Room Key, I think it was, Room Key, House Key, Home Key, operation here. We're going to give you a place to live. They said they had an 80% success rate this last year of people that were offered this. Well, that's good to see. But we got to instill personal responsibility, and the law has to back that up. We know that because we can't count on this governor.
In addition to that, I'm asking the legislature to appropriate a new structure, a new fund, which will set aside $750 million of additional money. And rather than waiting through the typical appropriation cycle, we want to get the legislature to act with a deeper sense of urgency. And by the way, I don't think I have to coerce them. They get it. And I think they want to get it done.
You know, we're going to send out outreach workers and code enforcement. The city of San Francisco is trying to connect homeless addicts with rehab facilities. And they opened this on the 18th. So it's only been open a few days down on Market Street, right there at UN Plaza, right in the Tenderloin. And Daily Mail UK, you're probably not going to see a lot of California media reporting on actually how this actually developed, but they're calling it an illicit drug consumption site. So it was Mayor London Breed put this new linkage center where everybody, you can get the homeless addicts that are out there and get them into rehab. They said that this center, they're seeing people just sitting out on the ground amongst trash, empty food containers, dirty blankets, drug paraphernalia. I saw photos on the Daily Mail that show people shooting up at the actual center. A lady was slumped over in a wheelchair, getting ready to put a needle into her thigh. I saw a picture of a woman with a needle in her neck. They opened this site to the Linkage Center. They're going to help people get off drugs. And now they got people smoking fentanyl in an outdoor area. And there was a video that I saw that two people passed out on a table. And this is what Mayor Breed and the members of the Board of Supervisors have put forward a supervised drug consumption site, and they did these two properties in the Tenderloin for people suffering from addiction. They allow them to do it under supervision while saying we're going to get you off of the drug. Yeah, I know, you just shake your head and you're like, is this really what we become? Obviously, they don't care for those souls in the slightest at all. There were hundreds of people dealing and smoking and injecting drugs on this plaza, and a San Francisco police car just rolls by. And, yeah, that's what it is. In New York, they got two safe consumption sites. It's illegal under federal law, but hey, who cares, right? Who cares? We got to have real action. First, we got to figure out how did it get this bad? Well, it was all the progressive ideas and not putting people in jail that broke the laws. You know, it's going to have some unintended consequences. You got shoplifters just walking right in front of security guards. You got police looking the other way. Why did they do that? Because they're bad cops? No. They know if they make an arrest, well, they got hours of paperwork, get them in jail, they'll be right out on the street breaking into cars. In San Francisco, cars are broken into 74 times a day, and nobody's arrested for camping on the street, whether it's San Francisco, Fresno, Modesto. It doesn't matter. We know that. We see these tent cities with the homeless, and most of them are mentally ill and drug users, and I'm going to bet that 75% of them are now mentally ill from being drug users. This is the life they chose. They chose it. And they can get it, they can shoot up, they can light up in public, and nobody's gonna interfere with them. There was this I'm telling about this Daily Mail story that I saw, and they interviewed a crack addict on the streets of San Francisco. And she said, I'm there because San Francisco is way more lenient. She said, I was in Miami, and they treat the homeless differently. They don't let people use drugs in public. And in San Francisco, she said, you can. So what are they going to do? They're going to you can't build homeless shelters in San Francisco because they argue that everybody deserves an apartment, right? What's it cost? Oh, $700,000 to build low-income apartments, right? Yeah, we've seen that here, but these big, large, open-air drug scenes going on. Let me ask you this. Do you see that in Carmel? No. Why not? Why don't we see them in the fancy neighborhoods, right? Well, we see them in other neighborhoods because people have a right to be outdoors. Yeah, but you don't have a right to shoot heroin at a public park. There have to be consequences for people's behavior because San Francisco is it's a sewer. And even some of the liberal politicians have had to change their positions. You know, Mayor London Breed, your city's falling down, declared that it's a time to, quote, rain of criminals who are destroying this city, right? Yeah, we remember Mayor London Breed when you were singing Defund the Police. Yeah, you cut the police budget by $120 million. And now you want to come out and say you're going to get more aggressive with law enforcement and less tolerant of all the bull beep that has destroyed our city. That was her actual quote. Her actual quote. But we know it's rampant. We know it's out of control. And we know now that in Fresno, that if a homeless person, if you see them in need, if you see them, and I read the actual line there, in danger, or if you feel, now if it's some criminal behavior going on, I guess we still call 911. But my whole thing is, man, you never know when criminal behavior is going to just rear its ugly head in a second. In a second. All this money spent on the homeless, in reality, it's a lifestyle. We know that, right? Well, Supreme Court. What's going on with the Supreme Court? Well, if you were at work and didn't hear.
Top Senate Democrats are planning for a quick confirmation for whoever is nominated by President Biden for a seat on the Supreme Court. But Press Secretary Jen Psaki says any talk of a nominee is premature.
I'm just not going to be able to say anything about any specifics until, of course, Justice Breyer makes any announcement, should he decide to make an announcement.
But Psaki does reiterate President Biden's pledge to nominate a black woman to the Supreme Court.
that speaks to his desire and his interest in having courts around the country that look like America.
You know a name being rumored?
Kamala. Kamala Harris.
Oh, no. Candidate for District 22 for Congress, Elizabeth Haynes. She's coming up, bottom of the hour.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. You're listening to the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Oh, please say no. Please say no. Predictions that Biden will install Kamala on the Supreme Court. Oh, could you imagine? Well, it's making the rounds out there. And remember when he was running as a candidate, he said he would make sure a black woman was nominated first. Yeah, way to hire the right man or woman for the job. Way to put prerequisite on it, right? Yeah, our Secretary of Transportation has to be gay. Our health director has to be a transgender, right? Yeah, don't hire the right person. Just look at how they have sex or what they chop off of their body, or in this case, skin pigmentation. It's exactly what he is doing. Kamala, well, she's unpopular. Maybe it's been rumored they've been trying to get her out of the administration over this. Let's go listen to how CNN is covering it. It has to do with, aren't you glad that someone of your skin, it's all about race.
There's no question about their capabilities. I want to make that crystal clear. No question about their capabilities. But what would it be like for somebody on the Supreme Court, finally, who looks like you?
And he's talking to a black reporter here.
I would be overjoyed and thrilled to know that somebody who looks like me and has the mental prowess that each of these women have and the credibility, the capability, the distinction of having served as judges and as extraordinary lawyers over their time would finally, and I emphasize the word finally, finally be given the opportunity to sit on the highest court in the land. And it's not something to be taken lightly. When we talk about the many decisions that are before the Supreme Court of the United States, I never had the luxury of leaving any part of my identity at the door before I walked into a courtroom.
Oh, stop with the identity and your man or woman or what color. Supreme Court Justice Breyer, 27 years on the court, expected, I guess it was leaked, right? I wonder who leaked it. Who would leak something like that?
Kamala Harris.
All right, so Biden gets to select a replacement. Here's some that are being thrown out at the moment. In the number one slot, U.S. Court of Appeals for D.C. Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson. She already passed Senate confirmation. Already 53-47 vote, three Republicans joined Democrats in voting for her. She is considered a flat-out liberal. She constantly ruled against the Trump administration when she was there as an appeals judge in D.C. But she's not as potentially as a radical as Justice Leandra Kruger of our very own Supreme Court here in California. Governor Brown pointed her back in 2014. And, of course, being vice president, you know, she's going to be out in 3 years and nobody likes her. Supreme Court for
Kamala Harris.
That's until she gets to Breyer's age or something. I can tell you the most dangerous virus we have, though, right now is government spending. Right. And isn't it crazy talking to Dr. Victor Davis Hanson yesterday? I was talking about Democrats and Republicans being in this debt orgy for decades. And it goes back to 1985 when Reagan was president. It was the first $1 trillion budget in American history. And at the time, that was kind of unthinkable, right? $1 trillion. You know, when we hear the word $1.7 trillion spending plan, you know, all these in $1 trillion, there's 12 zeros. You do know a trillion is $1 million times a million. The budget deficit hit $200 billion and 6% of our entire GDP. That's kind of unthinkable back then, right? But you fast forward 37 years later, and, you know, we're not close to a trillion. In 2021, Biden's first year in office, his spending came in at just under $7 trillion. Well, $6.8 trillion to be exact. But in less than four decades, our budget has grown that much, much faster than inflation, much faster than the economy has. So That's some stats that I looked up after that conversation yesterday. It's amazing the spending that we're doing. And yeah, Republicans go along with it as well. She wants to be one of those Republicans back in the District of Columbia representing District 22 as their congresswoman, Elizabeth Haynes. She's running in the special election, and we'll talk to her next.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Oh, yeah. We're in election season. We got elections all year long. And the first one coming up is going to be April 5th, a special election for District 22. Congressman Devin Nunes stepping aside to go with the Trump Media Group. And she has stepped into the ring. She's got her gloves on again. Elizabeth Haynes, welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me, Trevor.
Indeed. Now, I remember the first time I heard your story here. I want to bring this up first.
Here with more is that California Republican congressional candidate, Elizabeth Haynes. Elizabeth, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, too.
Okay, so we just showed a little bit of it. What was it in your personal story ad that had both Facebook and Twitter saying, no, we can't run this?
Elizabeth, that was on Fox News. You were one of the first to get purged out there. Remind us of that story of why they purged you.
It was absolutely ridiculous. I was one of the first political candidates in the country ever to get censored on Facebook and Twitter. I was simply trying to talk about my family's story of coming to the United States as legal refugees after living through the Cambodian genocide. Grew up here in Fresno, went to Stanford, Yale, worked for Congress, came back to give back to our community. And for whatever reason, Facebook censored my ability to highlight this American dream story and called it obscene and obnoxious. We fought back against them. But, you know, one thing I would agree with them, that the Cambodian genocide and the killing of millions of people is obscene and obnoxious, but nothing about my story should have been censored. We fought back, we won, and then Twitter did the exact same thing the following week. We fought back then and won too. And the biggest takeaway that I had from there was that I was so fortunate that I was running for office, so I had a platform to fight back. What about everybody else's stories and everybody else who has a different opinion, and they're being censored and blocked on social media and these tech giants?
That was just sickening what they did. It truly was. Elizabeth, you're not a newbie. You worked in D.C. as a staffer for Congressman Ed Royce from California. You're on the staff of the House Foreign Affairs Committee. So you got to see how it works there in the trenches. Was it a shock or a surprise thinking of what it might be to what it actually turned out to be? Is it more swampier than on the outside we know?
No, it is absolutely a swamp in Washington, D.C., and it gets toxic and toxic the more we have all seen in the last couple of years. You know, when I was working out there, I was very fortunate to work on a lot of great legislation to getting it across the finish line, honestly, in a bipartisan way. And I know that if, in fact, I earn the ability in our community to represent us, I would be able to hit the ground running in Washington, D.C., because we are going in this trajectory of these mandates and socialist policies that are, frankly, un-American. And we need a fighter and a voice that is capable of hitting the ground running in Washington, D.C., because when I was running here in the Valley back in 2018, when we met 4 years ago, we were talking about the biggest challenges impacting our community, that being water and immigration and education and the business climate. All four of those things, we're still talking about it. It's just much worse.
It is. Elizabeth Hain, candidate for District 22, the special election April 5th. What is the Elizabeth Hain? What's the top three issues your campaign's on fire for? Three. Let's start with number one, Elizabeth.
We need new ideas for water. That's number one, because that's the number one thing I'm hearing up and down the valley right now that we are struggling with. Number two issue, we need to have immigration reform and we need to secure our borders. That's highly critical right now. I find it utterly ridiculous that we're looking right now to securing a border in Ukraine when in fact we haven't even done so for the United States right now. And the third topic is, education. Education is a top priority issue. I believe that parents need a say in what's happening with their children in schools right now.
Yeah, that Parents' Bill of Rights that Congressman Kevin McCarthy's put forward, I've been covering that the last few days because I didn't feel enough Republicans were standing up for these parents. I mean, outright when the Department of Justice called them domestic terrorists, isn't it amazing, Elizabeth? And when, like you mentioned 4 years ago, we started talking here, interviewing you, how far we have come with these attacks on things that we used to call morals, right? I mean, with kids, you have these teachers. This mom was so upset in California that these teachers, unbeknownst to the mom, transgendered her. She had suicidal thoughts, and the mom didn't even know.
Yeah, and another thing is, after I ran for Congress, I don't know if you remembered, I created a super PAC called New Faces GOP, so looking for the next generation of Republican leaders. I created an ad because in 2019, at the beginning of when AOC and the squad just got to Congress, and I knew that their ideas were absolutely dangerous. So I dropped an ad during the middle of the first Democratic presidential debate here in the Valley and in New York and D.C., and I got wall-to-wall coverage across the country, and I kind of burned an image of AOC because her ideas are dangerous. And I got coverage across the country. AOC and the squad attacked me, and even Republicans were saying to me, hey, Elizabeth, that was kind of mean. Those socialist policies and mandates would never happen. This was going to be a fad for the next 3 months, and they will go away. Fast forward 3 years later, look at where we are today. I kind of just sit by on the sidelines as I continue to watch how our families are struggling with this pandemic. Our businesses were shut down. We still don't have water. And I am furious and angry and will work as hard as possible to earn the support of our community so we can fight back against these socialist mandates that continue to infringe on our day-to-day lives when we need to get our economy, and our country going again.
Amen. We're talking about all these the craziness out there, these environmentalists. The number one thing you mentioned when I said what are going to be the top three issues for your campaign you're on fire for, you said water. And that is so key. And I'm wondering why it's not a national issue. I mean, food is key to living the last time I checked, correct?
Absolutely. And we saw this with the pandemic. And I'm so thankful for our farmers, our ag community, for getting us through the pandemic, especially when we didn't know in the beginning what was happening. They were absolutely essential. And, as we've been talking about this issue for 30, 40 years now, that we need this. And I think we need to think bigger, right? I'm tired of watching, our career politicians just go in, try to ask for 20% of water allocation, and we get 5%. As a business person, right, when you want to, the art of the deal, when you want to negotiate things, you go in asking for 120%, and you come out with 75, 80%. That would be, we need bolder ideas that are put forth and new ideas, because the current ideas are not working, and our community is suffering, and it's going to be detrimental with Sigma coming down the pipelines and everything that's happening from Sacramento right now if we don't think of new and creative ideas so that we finally get water to our valley, to our ag community, so we are no longer talking about this topic.
Elizabeth Hain, candidate for District 22. Conservatives have had a lot of success recently with the abortion fight. Your view, if you represented us in Congress on abortion?
You know, I actually, it's such an important topic to me that March for Life just happened last week on Friday, and I red-eyed into D.C. to make sure that I could support, March for Life, because I believe that every human life matters.
Well, I think you answered that one. You didn't just give an opinion. You gave us a travelocity. And you know what? It's actions. Words are easy. It's people's actions that went out there. And I remember George W. Bush when he ran, he's a pro-life. And, I found out later that First Lady Laura Bush wasn't, and neither was Grandmama Bush. So he would always phone it in to the right to life. But when Trump was president, I think Pence went a few times. Trump went down there as well. And I'm so glad you went. I went to one a few years ago, and I feel bad saying I hadn't been to one in a few years. But the big one in San Francisco, it's like 50,000 people. And Elizabeth, I'm sure you saw the same thing there. I don't think I've actually, maybe I have and just didn't know it, but I don't know if I've ever seen demonic possessed people up close, but they came out in full form and were saying things and yelling things and shouting things to women and small children and grandmothers and everybody. The most vilest things I'd ever heard. I mean, there was a spiritual unleashing of evil at us, the marchers. Did you experience that there in D.C.? Was any of that crowd around?
You know, I was in a crowd where it was very positive, and people were fighting for the rights of the unborn. And I had a great experience with the, what excited me more than anything was the amount of young people that were out there, with me, in marching. And that, I think is incredibly important, that, the next generation is fighting, for our future, because these family values are incredibly important.
The red eye to DC says a lot to me. Thank you for doing that. Seriously.
And we had to have a mask on. So red eye to Washington, DC, wearing a mask and then getting back so that I can continue to fight for our valley here, with the meetings that I've had all of this week. It's been nonstop.
I didn't even factor in the masking. I've traveled once out of the state in just a few years, and it was back to D.C., and that 8 hours, airports, flight, and all that with the mask on, and I thought, man, this is what those kids have to go through at school every day. That was the most I'd ever had to mask up for a length of time, and it's not fun. It's not healthy.
Absolutely not. And so that's something that's incredibly important to me, is that we continue to fight back against these un-American values, these policies. When you have career politicians continue to be out of touch with everyday people here in the Valley, we just want life to go back to normal. And I believe at the end of the day that people, families, communities know how to make decisions for their lives better than the government ever will be able to. And that's what I'm fighting for, because I am so tired of us talking about the same issues and problems that we've had here in the Valley, and it's getting worse. I've been so fortunate that my grandparents are either alive or didn't pass away until 93 to 103. I'm turning 37 very shortly. I have about 60 more years left here in the Valley, and I absolutely refuse for us to go on this downward trajectory and spiral that we have seen plague us, especially in the last 24 months.
Was it grandma or grandpa that lived to 103?
It was grandpa that lived till 103. He passed away last year due to, age. But up until a week before he passed away, he was still walking to the grocery store every single day.
Wow. So did he give you a secret? Did he give you a secret? Like he ate peanut butter and had a Bud Light every morning? They always got some weird thing.
I never asked him what his secret was, but I know every single – he was spinning on a bicycle at home every single day into his late 90s. So I think this exercise
keep
him young and healthy.
I think that answers it. Well, you got some good genes there. Website, Elizabeth, for the campaign.
Yes, Elizabeth. HENG.com. So if election's going to happen very, very quickly. April 5th is the election. Ballots drop as early as March 7th. I need all the support I can get. So if you want to contact me or provide a contribution or volunteer, go to ElizabethHENG.com.
I tried to find for the interview here, but I think you've been purged. The best political campaign I ever saw ad of walking in Nancy Pelosi's shoes, Costa. Did they take that down? I tried to find it.
I will send it over to you.
I love that commercial.
I'm sure the algorithms have kind of forced some of my my ads down.
Well, that was a good one. That was a good one. Elizabeth, thank you. We'll talk again soon. District 22 right there. Bad news. Charlie Brown dead at 65. A sad ending to his voice.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. You're listening to the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Charlie Brown, the voice of Charlie Brown, dead at 65, and hate to say, he committed suicide. Isn't that sad?
What's the matter, Charlie Brown? Don't you think it's great?
It's all wrong.
Look, Charlie, let's face it. We all know that Christmas is a big commercial racket. It's run by a big Eastern syndicate, you know.
Well, this is one play that's not going to be commercial.
Look, Charlie Brown, what do you want?
He was 14 when he was replaced. Peter Robbins was his name, 65 years old. He had his family said he had bipolar disorder, and he took his own life. That voice you heard right there when he was 9 years old in the 1963 special, or actually that's the 65 Christmas special right there. He voiced six more specials, all the holiday ones, and he got to the age of 14. And his voice started to crack, I guess, and change, and he didn't sound like a young Charlie Brown, so he was replaced. I guess he went on and played in some TV shows. Donna Reed Show, Rawhide, he was in an episode of The Munsters as Elmer, but Charlie Brown, 65. Took his own life. Well, big news happening in D.C. today.
Top Senate Democrats are planning for a quick confirmation for whoever is nominated by President Biden for a seat on the Supreme Court. But Press Secretary Jen Psaki says any talk of a nominee is premature.
I'm just not going to be able to say anything about any specifics until, of course, Justice Breyer makes any announcement, should he decide to make an announcement.
But Psaki does reiterate President Biden's pledge to nominate a Black woman to the Supreme Court.
That speaks to his desire and his interest in having courts around the country that look like America.
Yeah, hire the right person. Okay. Anyhow, who would have leaked something like that out before?
Kamala. Kamala Harris.
Who's maybe looking to replace her and could have the deciding vote on a tie?
Kamala Harris.
Yeah, boy, this is going to get a little fun. No, it's scary because as VP, you know, she's going to be out in 3 years, if not even before then. But as Supreme Court Justice, that's forever, right? Talking to Elizabeth Heng there, candidate for District 22, talking about our border, she made the comment of, yeah, they're worried about the border in the Ukraine, but not our border down here. We don't know who's coming across that border, do we? We don't know. We don't know which Islamic terrorist. We don't know which guy from Costa Rica that's been paid money by Islamic terrorists to, I don't know, blow up the Super Bowl. I'm just thinking out loud here, right? Wouldn't we want to know who's coming in? I think, well, Psaki was asked that. Listen to this reporter and listen to the, I think it's Ducey here, and listen to the non-response.
A question about immigration.
Sure.
Why is it that large numbers of single adult men are being released into the United States just hours after being apprehended at the southern border?
Well, I'm not sure the specifics of what you're referring to, Peter. What I can tell you in terms of what our policy is and how we're approaching the border is that we continue to be under Title 42. Migrants who cannot be expelled under Title 42 are placed into immigration proceedings.
Yeah, she couldn't explain why people are men of military age are being caught, taken by a bus to an airport and then flown into the interior. Who are they? Why did they want to come here, right? She had no answers.
And one of those avenues could be placement in an alternative to detention program in the interior of the United States. Sometimes that means moving migrants to other parts of the United States to move to different detention facilities.
Okay, we gotcha. California, it's going to spread. San Jose is now making insurance. If you're a gun owner, Sam Paredes here.
There are most definitely plans to challenge this in court. California
either affects or infects what happens throughout the country. In this case, we would look at this as an unconstitutional infection that we want to stop here.
He's Executive Director of Gun Owners of California. He's going to be on the show tomorrow. Harmeet Dhillon, man, she's all over the place. She's involved in this.
If you read the law and read our lawsuit, you know that the amount of the tax is undefined, that the nonprofits to which this money is going to go is undefined, that the speech that this is going to be paying for is undefined, that it is to be determined.
We'll talk tomorrow, God willing, 3:30. Thanks to Agent Squires. We'll be back. John Girardi's next. Good night.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.